The Prentice Altum Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
We are back to wrap up the second hour of our coaches' conversation. Laverne coach Stanton Stevens joins us. Recap of the Jennings and Ayers Funeral Home scoreboard from last night's Jamboree. It was Blackman 7, Laverne 6. Siegel defeated Smyrna 21-7. And it was Oakland 7, Riverdale nothing in last night's Jamboree. Coach, we all are very well aware that scores and jamborees and scrimmages don't mean anything, but next Friday at Antioch, it will for you, won't it?
Absolutely, and we're looking forward to it, and last night's County Jamboree was exciting for our kids. I hope it was for the fans, and, you know, that gave us probably our best test of the summer so far.
Well, just judging from a fan perspective, I think fans enjoyed it, a chance to see all of the teams. We got to see everybody play last night. In turn, you know, the biggest crowd you're probably going to play in front of in scrimmages and things, obviously.
Yes, definitely.
So all of those things kind of work in to your advantage. You get to test everything. Talk to Coach McDaniel this morning. You know, you bring out the headsets and do everything like you normally do for a regular game, kind of a dress rehearsal.
That's what it is. And you know, you have to look at it like that and don't read too much into it and don't, you know, take too much out of it. But at the same time, it's another opportunity for your kids to go out there and get better, and you get to work on some things live. You know, some of the kids who haven't been relied on as being the guy, they get to go out there and now embrace their new role. And sometimes that's a big role, like CJ Ford, quarterback. And, you know, there were some other positions that those guys, that's the first time they've been out there under the lights, so to speak. And sometimes just with the lights on, some kids, you know, they don't respond quite how you would hope they would.
Well, it looked like your team overall came out and took a very business-like approach to the game. And, you know, you took on a very good opponent. Probably, I think you just said just a second ago, the best team that you've scrimmaged against, which is good to get that under your belt before the season starts.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, you want to play a high level of competition and do well, but you also have to be careful how you do it as far as when you schedule it. You know, you don't want to get them too early and you get your kids' confidence hurt. You want to kind of do that peaking thing. You're hitting it at the right moment, and each scrimmage situation makes you better for the next one. And I think that has been accomplished. But we'll find out next week when we go to Antioch how well we've prepared and what the things we've done in the offseason is going to be enough.
You've had some positions to fill and some shuffling around. You mentioned CJ, so you can start there. But some kids that maybe have been with the program but in different positions, some new kids in new positions. So you've had to do some shuffling.
Yeah, we have, and we're going to continue to shuffle the deck a little bit more. Not a lot, just a couple of little tweaks. But, you know, we CJ Ford last year started at free safety, and he started every ball game, all 10 last year. He was the backup quarterback to Dustin Bills, and Dustin Bills has become one of our defensive leaders. So in doing that, I think it's really tough to pull off a double as a starting defensive player and a starting offensive player, especially at the quarterback position. So with that, we just made a little swap one for one, and now we've got CJ at quarterback. Gives us a little bit more athleticism, a little better accuracy, you know, but at the same time, we lose a little bit of leadership and confidence that CJ's got to earn over a season, whereas Dustin had that pretty much wrapped up. But we
kind of worked Dustin into the offense some last night, though.
He plays tight end. Yeah. Yes, he plays tight end for us. We're trying to reduce the number of guys we have starting both ways. So we've got some new names out there, and some of them are performing really well, and others are learning that sometimes it's a little harder than it appears when you're that backup guy, you know. So you have to step your game up. But Dustin at linebacker, we really like our linebackers, Dustin Bills and LJ Dismuke. Those guys really play well. Kyron Jones. We also have Stephen Norman. He looked really well last night. He's playing extremely aggressive, a senior, showing a lot of leadership ability. We really like him. We've got two pretty good corners in David Emmanuel and Howard Greer. Howard Greer is a new guy, extremely athletic, and we think he's really good at the corner. And then we've got a veteran at the safety spot, Antonio Cowart. We think he's a big play guy. He tackles well. He feels that run alley really well. So we're looking forward to big things from those defensive guys, especially our linebackers and secondary. Up front, I think we got a rotation of pretty good defensive ends, about three of them. Derek Warfield probably being the leader of that group, and then Kalen Fuller, and then a new guy, Jonathan Strain. And we've also got a backup, Chris McGee, coming in there a little bit, who starts at tight end for us. And then our front, that's where our interior tackle spot, that's probably where we've got to build some depth. We were running some guys in last night trying to get them a little bit of experience. Kendall Adams and Rayshon Reeves are the best two we've got probably. And then you bring in a host of others that are vying for spots at that defensive tackle position. And one senior that we hope will be able to make his mark, it will be Zach Cleveland. So we've got some guys defensively that we think can help us out a lot. They just need experience and playing time, and we just need to work on stopping that inside run. And I think last night Blackman was able to move the ball primarily with their inside run game. So we got to work on that. Flipping over to the offensive side, we mentioned CJ. Our receiving core is young, but we think they're going to be really good. J.J. Horner and Quinn Jarnigan, we think both of those guys are going to be good for us. J.J. probably being the better of the two right now. Tight end spot, like I said, Chris McGee and Dustin Bills both play that. And then we've got our offensive line. You go back to Rayshon Reeves and Kendall Adams. Got another pretty good center, I think, in Chris Brown. Right guard spot, we're worried about that a little bit. Charlie Hugan played it for us last night. And then the right tackle, we've got Lorenzo McDaniel. So we think we're a little better up front this year than we were last year. And then go back to the backfield and you've got Darryl James, and he's a guy that we feel really comfortable that we know what we're going to get night in, night out. He's that grind-out guy. Then our big hit guy wasn't with us last night, but he'll be back next week, 100% healthy and ready to go. Willie Cowan, we think he's the home run hitter, but you got to have that grind-out guy in Darryl James to make sure things get moving in the right direction. At fullback spot, we've got a kid, Justin Fireson. We feel pretty good about him. And then backing him up, you've got Warfield and you've got Dismuke. So we've got some guys that we feel fairly comfortable with in the backfield. We've got Dustin, of course. He can step in at quarterback if we need to for CJ. And then we've got another kid, Jacob Adams. So we've got a bunch of names. We've got a bunch of pieces to the puzzle. We think the puzzle is put together almost completely now. We just may have to make an adjustment or two here or there and keep it going in the right direction. We're trying to do some things that give us a chance when we have to play teams that have 100 players on the team, like most of the people in our district do when you face Oakland, and Siegel, Riverdale and those guys, and Blackman last night. They've got a lot of guys to go to, and sometimes just their depth will beat you in the end because you run out of bodies before they do. So we're trying to make sure that we don't run out of bodies as we work our way through this.
Well, what I've noticed from this conversation and what we were seeing last night, there aren't some missing pieces where you have players that are maybe playing in a position that they're really not as physically able to do.
Right.
You've got those holes filled where years past you've had to put just bodies in those positions and teach it.
Yes. I we're a lot further ahead. And I guess it goes back to some of the earliest conversations we've had since I've been here. The weight room is extremely important. and you're building your core of your team in the weight room, and you're going to get those special players that are physically just gifted. You're going to get a certain number of them, but at the same time, you have to build a core, and I think we're building that core, not done yet, but we're building the core, and I think it showed a little bit last night that we were a little deeper than we've been in the past couple of years, and there were no glaring, like, wow, that guy looks like he's really out of position, or he's really playing at a talent deficiency. You know, you don't see that. It's harder to pick that out now than it was before, and that's a sign we're going in the right direction. But, you know, I say all the time, we want to break through. We don't like we're knocking at the door. We want to go ahead and break through. We want to get that first district win. We want to compete for a playoff spot, and we want to compete for one of the top three or four positions in our district.
Well, a chance to do that with the schedule, to get off to a strong start. I know that's going to be important for you guys, and you got to do it on the road at Antioch next week, and then Wilson Central the next before you jump into district play. First 2 weeks are going to be real critical, aren't they?
They're extremely critical for a lot of different reasons. I think last year we drove it a little bit early on Antioch and came up empty. Their defense got tough as we got closer to the goal line, and we actually scored on a fumble return for a touchdown. That was our first score, and I think that kind of took some of the air out of Antioch. Now, if they don't fumble and we pick it up and run it in, you know, that goes from a game that you look back on and hey, we won that pretty handily, to, you know, you never know what would have happened. So we can't take anything for granted, and our players cannot just start to assume, well, we beat Antioch last year and we'll beat them this year. They're a different football team. They were installing a new offense. I was watching the film yesterday, and they're already, you can tell, they're further ahead now than they were at the same point last year. So it won't be the same type of game that we played last year with them, but we still, that's one we need to take care of if at all possible. We need to win that ball game, and we need to follow up the next week with another win. And going into Oakland in the district play, our momentum is extremely important. We don't want to be sputtering coming out of the gate when we take on Oakland.
Well, the way the playoff system is set up, and I know we're a long ways away from that, but you really have to think about that now to put your team in a position. Every game, whether it's district or non-district, is critically important.
Everything counts. Yeah. Everything counts. You can't take anything for granted. And something I've been saying to our kids this summer, everything matters. Every day in practice matters. Every rep that you get in matters. It matters. Every game is going to matter. And when we get down to the end, a win in week zero or week one could determine whether we make the playoffs or not in week 11 or week 10.
Well, just ask Siegel 2 years ago. That 1 point loss, the Independence,
yes,
2 years ago, wound up being the one thing that kept them out of the playoffs 2 years ago. So you don't. And it's sometimes hard to, when the goal is, you know, the first week of November. It's kind of hard to get kids to buy into that,
right?
You know, the middle of August.
Right, right. You know, and then to be quite honest with you, I think if you project, well, not I think, I know, if you project that far ahead this early, usually you never get there. So you have to just kind of say, hey, look, we've got to take care of business this week. All our focus has got to be on Antioch. We've been working to come up with things versus them a long time, and we hope it pays off. Antioch is the only, only thing that matters right now to us. And even last night's jamboree, we wanted to do well and look well, but we didn't want to take the focus away. That was a jamboree. We're still 0-0. Next week, we'll either be 1-0 or 0-1, and that's what matters.
We're talking to Stanton Stevens this morning of the Laverne Wolverines, and just to kind of look at the schedule, not only Antioch, but Wilson Central, then you've got Oakland, then a cupcake in Mount Juliet.
Well, you know, I don't know why we went into Wilson County, just to be quite honest with you, but, you know, you play the schedule that's made, and you try to do the best that you can do. You know, our district is so tough that you hate to go, you know, and I'll say this, someone else got Mount Julia on the schedule. It was my mistake to put CAK on the schedule, you know. So, I mean, I don't know what I was thinking at that point, but, you know, sometimes you're just trying to get a schedule because it is so tough in this county. You know, we haven't traditionally had the success some of the other schools have, but people are just reluctant to play teams from Rutherford County.
Well, if you look at your non-district schedule, Antioch, you've got Wilson Central, which will be a quality opponent. Mount Juliet, another quality opponent. Then Shelbyville, and I think Shelbyville and Mount Juliet are projected to win their districts possibly.
Yes,
CAK,
yes,
another one of those great opponents. So it's hard for everybody in this district to get games.
It is, and sometimes you just have to play people that you don't want to play. Do I want to play Antioch? You know, we beat them, but then I want to say they were undefeated in district play, and they won their district and went to the playoff. I mean, we're playing one playoff team after another, and some of the playoff teams aren't just playoff teams; they're state title contenders.
Yeah,
you know, so it makes it really tough, but at the same time, it's fun every week. That's
well,
for sure.
That is one thing that is for sure. But, I mean, everybody has a grueling schedule, and you mentioned it, the fact that the Laverne program has been maybe not the places that the Riverdales and the Oaklands and Siegel and Blackman have been, but still deem that same respect because of where you play. You know, oftentimes I've heard some folks from Laverne say, you know, if we just played in a different district. Well, this is the district that you're in. You're dealt.
It's the cards we're dealt, and we got to play the hand the best we can, you know, and sometimes you just got to put that poker face on, and, you know, you got to bluff your way, trick your way, and maybe hold one under the table if you can and pull it out on somebody. But, I mean, it is what it is, and we've got what we got, and we're going to go out there and we're going to play hard. You know, we want to show people that we can win right here at the highest levels of competition, and we're not dropping down. It's not going to happen. That's just a fantasy. That's not going to happen. We have to live in reality, and reality is we play in a big boy league, and we've got to bring our big boy lunchbox to come and play. You know, so it's not we're not shying away from the challenge of our district and our county.
Well, we look forward to seeing the Wolverines, talking to you here on Saturday mornings, and we've put together a schedule of the first several games, and we're going to actually open up the district schedule out at your place at the Den, and Oakland will come to town on the 31st. Lots of football between now and then, but look forward, with the exception of seeing Stephen Crutchfield, looking forward to coming to Laverne.
Well, you know what? When I did not realize that they were going to allow each home announcer to do a quarter. And when I heard him say first down Wolverines, I was like, wait a minute, that's our guy up there, you know, and he's one of our biggest supporters. Crutchfield is, Stephen, and he's the head of the so-called Laverne Alumni Association. I've never seen anybody but him, but he claims that there is a big group out there that's watching everything we do, you know, and making sure we keep things going in the right direction. So he's great to work with.
Well, I remember days of him in the Waldron lunchroom as an eighth grader, and he played at Waldron when John was the principal out at Waldron, and a great young man, and does a really good job, and he has taken on some new roles and trying to help take all athletics into a new avenue, and I think that's going to be a really big help. But if we could just get him to wear some other color but orange.
That's not going to happen, and support him in that. You know, he really – there's two colors he loves, and one is orange and the other one is royal blue. So I can live with it.
All right, Coach. Well, we'll see you next week, and go take care of the Bears.
All right. We'll try to.
All right. Thank you. Stanton Stevens joining us as we wind up the Prentice Also Heating and Air Coaches Corner. But don't fret. We have more Coaches Conversation coming up. MTCS Cougar Corner is straight ahead here on WGNS Murfreesboro. John Dinkins talking to Brian Stewart of the Cougars in just a moment.